Chapter 3, The Evolution of Smart Tech. Introduction. Advanced digital technology took decades of research and development, testing, iterating, failure, and finally commercializing the technology for it to become commonplace today. Its seemingly sudden arrival for end users can feel startling and frightening. We have been here before technologically. Callestus Juma writes, "There has been ongoing societal tension between the need for innovation and pressure to maintain continuity, social order, and stability throughout human history. For hundreds of years, we have created tools to make work faster and easier, safer and more efficient. From the printing press to telephones to mainframe and then desktop computers, each generation has made life and work easier. However, those tools weren't smart. They didn't make decisions for people and decide, say, who receives services and who doesn't." This chapter provides an overview of the history and development of smart tech, an explanation of how it works, and its applications for the field of social good, which enables us to understand how best to use it now. We also cover important emerging trends as smart tech becomes ubiquitous. A brief history. The history of smart tech begins at the Dartmouth Workshop in 1954. John McCarthy, a computer science professor at Dartmouth College, coined the phrase in his grant proposal to the Rockefeller Foundation to support the workshop. He wrote, "Every feature of intelligence can be precisely described so that a machine can be made to simulate it. An attempt will be made to find how to make machines use language, form abstractions and concepts, solve all kinds of problems now reserved for humans, and improve themselves." Over the next six decades, artificial intelligence grew into a complex computer science field with an alphabet soup of technical jargon and many different subspecialties. There was an occasional burst of public displays of smart tech wizardry, as when IBM's Deep Blue computer beat the world's best chess player, Garry Kasparov, in their second match in 1997. For the most part, the public view of the field was led by science fiction writers such as Isaac Asimov and pop culture, with either a utopian view like the Jetsons or more likely a dystopian story of killer robots. The rise of the internet in the early 1990s began to turn science fiction into reality. In 1965, Gordon E. Moore, the founder of the computer chip manufacturing company Intel, predicted that the computational power of a single chip would double every 2 years. This became known as Moore's Law, and not only did it come true, it changed the world of computing, meaning the world. It also underestimated how much more powerful computers would become in the next several decades. The exponential increase in the power of computers and decrease in their size ensured that everyday people would eventually hold phones that were more powerful than entire rooms of mainframe computers in the 1970s. The internet began to be commercially available in the early 1990s. We could connect and communicate with people in the next cubicle or across the world. And soon, we were sharing and storing photos and information. And then came big tech. These are companies that provided the infrastructure for our use of digital technology. Internet service providers such as AOL, initially, and eventually AT&T and Comcast. Web browsers such as Chrome and Firefox. Search companies like Google, and social media companies like Facebook and Twitter. It all seemed miraculous and free. And then we realized big tech owned all of our data, and they were gleefully selling it for enormous profits. This was a wake-up call that we really needed to be aware of ethics as we deal with technology. Now, smart tech is becoming ubiquitous, and what was once unimaginable science fiction, like speaking into your wristwatch or sending information around the world in an instant, has become our everyday reality. And we're just about to do it again. As the technologist Clay Shirky wrote, digital tools don't get socially interesting until they get technologically boring. Smart tech is about to get boring. Here's how the technology works. Programmers use computer code to create algorithms, the rules for analyzing data and making predictions, suggestions, or automated completion of tasks, such as reviewing applications or resumes. The predictions algorithms make about what people will do or want are what we humans call decision-making. This isn't one decision. Algorithms make millions of calculations in the blink of an eye, and we can't see any of it happen. It takes almost unimaginably enormous amounts of data to train smart tech systems to identify these patterns, and then huge amounts of data to make the systems work thereafter. Once implemented, smart tech isn't done learning. It continues honing its decision-making and becomes smarter over time. Using a baking analogy, computer codes are the ingredients, algorithms are the recipes, and decisions are the cakes. Smart tech has recently reached an inflection point common to technologies that reach everyday use. An enormous increase in computing power meets a dramatic decrease in the cost of the technology. As a result, technology that was previously available only to elite institutions like NASA or embedded in widely complicated systems such as airplanes, autopilots, or smartphones, autocorrect, has suddenly become available to everyday people and organizations. Digital eras and disruptive technology. Jeremiah Aoyang, a leading technology analyst, outlines six digital eras. They are: Internet era. Organizations' biggest challenge was digitizing information from the physical world. Social media era. Invisible networks from the physical world become digital and visible and scalable. Organizations shift their approaches to fundraising and communications because people have access to much more information and can support many more causes. Activism, engagement, and ideas spread faster due to the network effect. Collaborative economy era. People can share resources with each other. Uber and Airbnb are common examples. Crowdfunding efforts, particularly platforms like GoFundMe, democratize fundraising by and for individuals. Autonomous world era. New technologies such as artificial intelligence, machine learning, and chatbots analyze data faster than ever, and human tasks are automated. This era is emerging, and early adopters are applying autonomous tech in pilot projects. Modern well-being era. We turn to technology to become more human. This includes wellness apps and avoiding or rehabbing from technology addiction and overload. Off-planet era. Leaving Earth becomes possible for civilians, and everyone has opportunities to have God's view. Each of these eras includes disruptive technologies that force a rethinking of existing business models and practices, and they are overlapping as we are still in the internet, social media, and collaborative economy eras. This book focuses on the autonomous world. We will leave the discussion of how we will adapt to living on Mars for a future book. Accelerating into the autonomous world. Right now, we are hitting the sweet spot for smart tech, when the cost of technology declines and the commercial availability of it increases. These moments of technology adoption are often drawn in the shape of a hockey stick. The blade of the stick moves slowly along the bottom of the graph until the technology becomes inexpensive and useful enough to the public that adoption explodes upward and becomes the handle of the stick. Here are just a few data points that illustrate the acceleration. Since 1997, the number of published papers has increased 9 times. Patents for AI appeared in 9% of technologies in 1976, spreading to more than 42% of technologies by 2018. The number of startups using AI has increased 14-fold since 2000. Key aspects of the autonomous world. The autonomous world covers a wide variety of technologies. For instance, artificial intelligence is divided into three broad types: narrow, focusing on a narrowly defined task; general, as capable as a human; and super, more capable than a human. General and super AI are used in more academic and experimental settings right now. Our purpose for this book is to focus on the most important smart tech applications for social change efforts today and in the near future. Therefore, most of the examples in this book are narrow AI, involving machine learning and conversational artificial intelligence, the ability for computers and humans to communicate via text or voice. Rest assured that smart tech is not smarter than people, yet. We will discuss the differences between human and machine intelligence in Chapter 4, Staying Human-Centered. Machine learning. Machine learning automates specific tasks through pattern matching. This is how children learn languages. They see a picture of an apple and repeat the word, then learn to read the word, and then learn to spell the word, over and over again. Smart tech does this using much more data and going faster than people. Many current commercial applications use machine learning technology. Here's a lighthearted example of machine learning from Ben Ham, an Amazon product manager. In order to stop his sweet, murderous cat Metric from bringing dead animals into the house, Ben connected the cat flap in his door to a smart tech-enabled camera outside. The camera controlled the automated locking system for the cat door. Ben loaded photos of the cat with and without prey in his mouth to train the system to answer a simple question: is the cat coming into the house with dead prey in his mouth? If the answer was yes, the cat flap locked for 15 minutes. In addition, it would automatically send a donation or blood money to the National Audubon Society, which protects the birds that Metric loved to kill. If it answered no, the cat flap door would open and allow the preyless cat entry into the house. In machine learning examples like this one, the data is purposely categorized and labeled to enable the system to recognize patterns. This is called supervised learning, where data is labeled by humans and then the algorithm learns from training to make predictions. Programmers then adjust the algorithm to make correct predictions. For example, a supervised learning model can predict how long your commute will be based on the time of day, weather conditions, and so on. But first, you'll have to train it to know that rainy weather extends the driving time. Unsupervised learning models, in contrast, work on their own to discover the inherent structure of unlabeled data. Note that they still require some human intervention to make sure the results are accurate. For example, an unsupervised learning model might detect a pattern whereby online shoppers who purchase baby clothing also buy other baby products. This would be very valuable information for advertisers to know. Training smart tech systems to correctly identify and label images takes an enormous amount of time and data, and still the results are often wrong. In 2017, a fun internet meme showed that a smart tech system couldn't tell the difference between blueberry muffins and chihuahuas. 2 years later, in a more rigorous study conducted by a group of researchers from UC Berkeley, the University of Washington, and the University of Chicago, a machine learning algorithm thought a nail was a candle and a hummingbird was a snail. The researchers found deep flaws that stem from the software's over-reliance on color, texture, and background cues. We will explore the need for large, clean data sets more in Chapter 5, Data, Data, Data. Conversational Artificial Intelligence. Eliza made her debut in 1964. She was a voice-activated system simulating a psychotherapist trained to reply to questions with open-ended responses. Instead of paying an enormous amount of money to have a human therapist not answer your question, Eliza was available at any time for free. Eliza was the first conversational artificial intelligence to be claimed by some to pass the Turing test, although this view is highly contentious, named after the computer scientist Alan Turing, which measures a machine's ability to exhibit intelligent behavior that is equivalent to that of humans. Natural language programming collects and analyzes what's called unstructured data. These are huge amounts of data from, say, social media, organized by theme and sentiment to help guide communication decision-making. Alexa and Siri use natural language programming to learn to understand both the content and purpose of questions. Chatbots are the fastest-growing commercial use of natural language programming. You may have engaged with a chatbot without knowing it. If you clicked on a button on a commercial site that says Chat 24/7, chances are these are conversational chatbots programmed to answer rote questions. Chatbots will likely be the first smart tech tools that smaller nonprofit organizations can program by themselves. There are many examples of chatbots used to interact with donors and volunteers throughout this book, and we will share the lessons learned and best practices for adoption. AI for good. For the last decade, AI has been used extensively in support of humanitarian causes. Humanitarian crises that are transnational and generate enormous amounts of data are perfect places for the use of smart tech. This field is known as AI for good. AI number four, good. The main players are large nonprofit organizations in partnership with universities, international development agencies, healthcare, and large tech companies. In 2018, Google announced the AI Impact Challenge, an open call for proposals on how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to help address society's most pressing issues. 20 organizations received a total of $25 million in grant funding. They received an enormous number of submissions, 2,602 in total, from six continents. Their final report on the challenge identified subject areas for submissions as crisis response, economic empowerment, education, environment, equality and inclusion, health, and the public sector. These are all important areas to be addressed in the world, but we want to focus on three very active areas in the field of AI for good: climate change, refugee management, and epidemiology and medical diagnoses. Climate change. In 2019, a group of well-known scientists and AI researchers published a paper called Tackling Climate Change with Machine Learning. It was a call to action bringing smart tech researchers and climate change scientists together to identify ways that the smart tech can help address climate change. The researchers identified different examples where machine learning can be deployed, including energy production, carbon dioxide, CO2 removal, education, solar geoengineering, and finance. Additional possibilities include more energy-efficient buildings, creating new low-carbon materials, better monitoring of deforestation, and greener transportation. However, despite the potential, the researchers point out that this is early days and AI isn't magic, although machine learning can help bring new insights into the problem of climate change. Smart tech can unlock new insights from the massive amounts of data embedded in differing climate model simulations. For example, algorithms that analyze data from 30 climate models can improve predictions and can help governments make informed climate policy and prepare for change and potentially uncover areas that could reverse some effects of climate change. Humans are not the only ones at risk because of climate change, of course. Planet Labs, an Earth imaging tech company, partnered with Paul G. Allen Philanthropies and leading research scientists to create a global map to monitor the health of shallow water coral reefs. These are examples of how smart tech is helping with climate change. But what about the environmental impact of the technology? Much of smart tech's recent adoption has required ever-increasing amounts of data and computing power, and this all comes at a cost. While currently cloud computing represents roughly 0.5% of the world's energy consumption, that percentage is projected to grow beyond 2% in the coming years. The machine learning carbon emissions calculator helps individual users of machine learning to track their carbon emissions. Recommending greener machine learning technology and processes should be a key part of the technology's research and development process. Refugee crisis. There are an estimated 84 million forcibly displaced people and 26 million refugees worldwide, the highest numbers on record. The pandemic, combined with extreme weather events caused by climate change, are exacerbating the challenges for humanitarian agencies to help refugees. The Hive, the innovations lab for the United Nations High Commission on Refugees, has been leading efforts to introduce smart tech to support its program delivery. The Hive has partnered with Microsoft Philanthropies to identify and expand research opportunities where AI could be applied in the global refugee crisis. In 2018, the Hive piloted a smart tech project to address the global problem of extreme overcrowding in refugee camps. For instance, Malawi's Zaleka refugee camp, created in 1994 to house 9,000 refugees from Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo, today houses 30,000 refugees. Monitoring camps for empty beds is an essential but labor-intensive activity, as field staff members typically survey the camps on the ground and upload the data manually. During the pandemic, this activity posed additional risk for staff. The Hive joined forces with Maxar Technologies and Stanford University's Sustainability and Artificial Intelligence Lab to map and analyze refugee camp populations by using satellite imagery in real time. They currently monitor 115 refugee camps and help local agencies steer refugees to camps with available beds. Using mapping data to pinpoint areas for humanitarian aid is critically important. However, many of the world's disaster-affected areas are literally missing from existing maps, making it difficult for humanitarian aid workers to prepare and deliver relief programs. To address this issue, humanitarian OpenStreetMap Team, HOT, partnered with Microsoft and Bing to improve the mapping of areas vulnerable to natural disaster and poverty. Epidemiology and diagnostics. Going viral took on a whole new meaning in 2020. In addition to news and memes, COVID-19 made its way from Wuhan, China, around the world in just days, not months or years. The pandemic demonstrated how vulnerable the world is to diseases, which pay no attention to national borders. Smart tech has been used to track the spread of the disease by epidemiologists, policymakers, and journalists. Smart tech can instantly translate health data into multiple languages. COVID-19 was also a vivid example of the different ways that countries around the world view privacy and smart tech. South Korea used geolocation data, surveillance camera footage, and credit card records to trace COVID-19 patients. China assigned a risk level color, red, yellow, green, to each person, indicating contagion risk using software embedded in individual cell phones. Austria, China, Israel, Poland, and Singapore set up contact tracing systems to identify possible infection routes. The use of facial recognition software for contact tracing in the United States immediately raised ethical issues of racial bias, inaccuracies, and privacy concerns. IBM and Apple soon suspended its use of facial recognition software indefinitely. Since so much of diagnoses rely on images and pattern matching, it is a perfect area for machine learning applications. Oncologists are using smart tech to diagnose a wide variety of cancers. Researchers at the University of Heidelberg and Stanford University created a smart tech system to visually diagnose images of skin lesions to determine whether they were cancerous. It outperformed dozens of dermatologists. Smart tech can also help detect public health problems that are not visible. In fact, they may even be hidden below ground. After lead was found in the pipes for drinking water in Flint, Michigan, smart tech was used to search underground pipes for lead. A machine learning model was used to predict which homes were most likely to have lead pipes. In 2017, workers inspected 8,833 homes, and of those, 6,228 homes had their pipes replaced, a 70% rate of accuracy. In 2018, 10,531 properties were explored, and only 1,567 of those were found to have lead pipes to replace. That's a lead pipe hit rate of just 15%. Why the dramatic drop in accuracy? Public officials abandoned science and began randomly digging up pipes across the city based on who complained the loudest. Hysteria won over science in Flint. Data for good. A subset of AI for good is the burgeoning field of data for good. Data number four, good. The data for good field had its roots in 2002, when U2's Bono and a group of social entrepreneurs, anti-poverty activists, and specialists in the use of data launched a platform called data.org. The ultimate goal was to end extreme poverty and prevent diseases through data science. An early player in the data for good field is DataKind, a nonprofit organization dedicated to using data science for social good. It has chapters around the world through which volunteer data experts work with local activists on specific public interest projects. One of DataKind's lead data science volunteers in Washington, D.C., John McCambridge, took the lead in examining the role of political influence in the allocation of Small Business Administration loans during COVID-19. Using a wide variety of data sources, John and his fellow data experts created a dashboard of loans by congressional district. They then worked with journalists to produce several important investigative articles tracking loans for fraud and abuse. Conclusion. The evolution of smart tech has taken a route common to other technologies. A years-long slow road of development, largely hidden from public view, followed by an inflection point of fast commercialization. What would have seemed like magic just a few years ago has now become commonplace. But using smart tech and using it well are very different things. The next few chapters will focus on ways to harness smart tech and use it ethically and responsibly.